Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our guest today is Todd Battle, president of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, CABA. CABA is an economic development organization which has had great impact locally. Todd knows what the business community needs, and by the way, CABA's website has a great COVID-19 resource center. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Len. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we're recording this 24 hours ahead of broadcast in order to manage through these fluid times. So if we don't mention something that comes up in the past 25 hours or so, that's why. Todd, as the officer of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, what are you seeing locally? Can you give us just a quick overview before we get too deep into the weeds here? What are you seeing going on?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we're an economic development corporation. We serve the greater Kenosha area. So we engage with a lot of the major employers and the companies that are based here. And the last, 30 days plus or minus has been, there have been some pretty dramatic changes here, not only in Kenosha County in Southeast Wisconsin, but kind of around the United States and around the globe. There's certainly a public health crisis that has needed a response from government and the citizenry and business. And so I think there's been great efforts to try and respond to this public health crisis. And then I think the question of the day is, in dealing with this public health crisis, are we able to withstand the economic ramifications that are brought about by social distancing and closing non-essential businesses and essentially pretty significantly pumping the brakes on the economy and development. So, that seems to be the question of the day. We want to definitely keep our citizens and our communities safe, and we want to protect lives. But, at some point, we also have to think about protecting livelihoods.
This is not a commonplace occurrence. This happens maybe once a century or so. At least it seems like it to me. So we really are really figuring this out as we go along. Luckily, unlike the early 1900s, we have a lot of technology and a lot of advances in medicine to help us. How are you handling it at the Kenosha Area Business Alliance? How are you folks running your vital operations in support of business and commerce in our community here in Kenosha County, Todd?
Yeah, so we're a relatively small shop. We've got 7 employees total. For all intents and purposes, we're kind of a business association. So a lot of our activities are centered around working with area companies, hosting events, working on economic development and financing projects. So, for us, the world, like for a lot of people, the world changed pretty dramatically in kind of early to mid-March. Since mid-March, we've kind of shut our office and everyone's working remotely. We've replaced a lot of kind of person-to-person dealings and interactions with a lot of virtual meetings and webinars. I think what we've tried to do is there is just a ton of information coming out around this crisis and the public health impacts, but also some of the aid and response tools that are available to kind of weather the storm. And we've kind of, I think the role that I see us playing or we're trying to play is in essence air traffic control. We may not be the expert on every single, state or federal benefit or stimulus program, but we probably have the ability to tap folks that do have expertise in those programs and can explain them in detail how they work. And so we've kind of tried to take on this role of being a kind of an information clearinghouse where you need information on the Paycheck Protection Program. We're going to try and push that out to our businesses in this area and, get them in touch with the people that can, help them fill out an application, apply for these funds, and then comply with the program requirements.
What do you think is the most important thing for businesses to keep in mind right now? If you were advising a group of business owners, what are the couple or three things you might tell them that they should be focusing on, Todd?
Gosh, yeah, great question. It kind of depends. we've done some work to survey our members. I think, you know, if you're a non-essential business and you've been shut down, I think those companies, I mean, to be quite honest, are focused on preservation. You know, how do we keep the business as a going concern? How do we manage through kind of a period where we've got almost zero revenue? How do we keep our employees? And maybe we're in a position where we've had to do layoffs or furloughs, and we're trying to tap every resource we can to essentially remain a going concern. Then you have kind of other businesses at maybe the opposite end of the spectrum, where this crisis, they may be deemed an essential industry, or they may be part of a critical supply chain, such as food distribution or food manufacturing, or maybe they're in the healthcare space and they're making some sort of critical element or PPE. And those firms are frankly kind of in a, you know, kind of a emergency kind of hiring and growth mode, or having to shift gears pretty quickly. And so for them, the primary concern is, you know, how do we keep this business operating while we're still practicing great safety methods that keep our people safe and protected. So, you know, it kind of depends where you're at. We are seeing from different firms throughout the community, they're all over the spectrum.
The governor has just released on Thursday an extension of Wisconsin's Safer at Home order. Todd, I wonder, what's your reaction to that? The emergency order is extended until 8 a.m. on May 26th, unless a superseding order is issued. This stuff just has come out, and we're all trying to figure out what it means. I wonder if you would just comment on the new order of Safer at Home. And it opens up things just a little bit. I was just talking to the director of the library via email, and our library director, Barbara Bratton, says that the library curbside pickup is going to resume April 24th. So all of our readers who are listeners are going to love that. What's your comment on the latest executive order, Todd?
Yeah, so the governor's prior order essentially ran through Friday, April 24th. This new order now runs through kind of until the Tuesday after Memorial Day, essentially extending the current Safer at Home order about 30 days. It has some slight changes in it, as you mentioned. There may be slightly more flexibility for some of the entities that had previously been deemed non-essential to maybe restart, or in a limited basis have some operations. Again, I think here's the question of the day. We're managing through this public health crisis. The governor's essentially saying we need another 30 days to kind of stem the spread of this virus, and he's kind of deemed that as the period necessary to kind of battle this public health crisis. I think you're hearing a lot of reaction from the other side of this argument that, you know, an additional 30 days is perhaps a bit too much, and we've got to start thinking about ways to practice, you know, good public safety, but also think about ways to restart the economy. I think the concern is for some of these small businesses, retail, restaurants, bars, et cetera, you know, 30 days was a pretty, you know, pretty long period to go with, you know, kind of zero revenue or cash flow. Making that 60 days for some could be a death sentence for their business. So, you know, we certainly are trying to, you know, figure out, I think, you know, as you mentioned earlier, everybody's kind of, this is something that a little bit unprecedented. So everyone's trying to figure out what's the best way to manage through this with no roadmap. And now we're getting into a lot of kind of areas where we've got to show judgment about, you know, their science and public health and information about the disease and how it spreads and what we need to do to stem the spread of the virus. But that's also now kind of bumping up against, you know, we're going to do some serious economic damage to people and companies and places if this order goes on so long. And so that's kind of the great debate here. I personally, I probably think we've got to start thinking about ways to restart the economy and maybe look at some of those non-essential industries that in the prior order were deemed non-essential and figure out, are there ways to safely kind of restart them? Because I'm just not confident that come, you know, May 25th or May 26th, we flip a switch and the economy turns back on. So I think we've got to start thinking about ways to be smart about getting some of these small businesses some opportunities to get back in business.
Yes, there's a no roadmap for this. This hasn't happened for about 100 years, so we're inventing this as we go along. What do you think is the biggest concern in our corner of the state of Wisconsin, Todd? We're in an interesting position being in this very, very dense population-wise and industry and business-wise corridor extending really all along the shore of Lake Michigan and around into Indiana. Do you have any observations as to how quickly you think that we're going to get back operationally? And there is a disparity, of course, in the state of Wisconsin. There's a heck of a difference between what we face in Kenosha, being between Chicago and Milwaukee, and being up in, say, Rhinelander.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good points. You know, Kenosha, from a, you know, from a community and from an economic development standpoint, we've kind of always thrived and benefited, you know, in some part based on our geographic location between these two major metro areas. In a situation like this, you're kind of seeing that the spread of this disease seems to be more significant in densely populated areas. So being between two major metro areas, we're kind of right between, you know, the two areas of the country that, you know, are seeing more of this, more impact by this. You know, another note is with respect to Kenosha and its economy. You know, we're an economy that is, as is much of Wisconsin, that's kind of based on kind of manufacturing and production and distribution and logistics. And a lot of those, you know, employment opportunities and industries really are a little bit more difficult to do when you say, hey, we're going to work remotely. Kind of hard or difficult to run a manufacturing facility or a distribution center remotely. There needs to be some sort of physical presence and operation. So, you know, that's a challenge for us as well. Those factors are out there. I think this is a, you know, this is an area of the state and, you know, that over the last decade or so, we've worked pretty hard to diversify our economy and strengthen our economy and grow our economy, bring new business and new investment and bring new jobs to the area. So, you know, in some respects, you hope that a lot of those efforts have built up an economy that's a little bit more diversified and a little bit more resilient. So perhaps we're in a position where we can weather this storm maybe a bit better than we could have 10, 15, 20 years ago. But needless to say, it seems like the storm clouds have rolled in and we're kind of in the midst of this storm. And it appears to be pretty severe when you look at unemployment claims and impacts on revenue and kind of the volatility in the stock market and disruptions to supply chains. It's increasingly difficult for companies and employers to figure out how to manage through this crisis.
We're talking this morning with Todd Battle, president of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, about the epidemic that we're in the midst of. Todd Battle, feedback that you're getting from not only Kenosha County, but other areas in our signal in Walworth and in Racine? Are there any differences between the three counties from what you hear, or are we all experiencing about the same thing? Or are you aware of, from your counterparts and colleagues, significant differences amongst Walworth, Racine, and Kenosha counties during this epidemic?
I don't know that I would have a lot to say about kind of differences. I mean, I think Kenosha and Racine kind of experience a lot of these things similarly in terms of our geographic location and our economic conditions. You know, and it seems like, you know, it seems like in this current health crisis or pandemic, you're seeing that kind of urban areas seem to be more afflicted by this than kind of some of the areas that are more rural and more spread out because of the way it's transmitted. So I, you know, it would just seem reasonable that maybe Kenosha and Racine are a bit more impacted than maybe Walworth County, just due to kind of spatial considerations. You know, you're certainly seeing with this pandemic, you know, it's impacting, you know, the impacts of it from a public health standpoint seem to be more severe in some of our urban communities. And it certainly appears that, you know, the impacts from an economic standpoint are kind of hitting some of the people that can least afford it, right? Some of the industries that are hard hit and some of the non-essential businesses that have been closed, maybe disproportionately a larger segment of their workforce, you know, is on a kind of lower end of the spectrum in terms of income and wealth and those types of things. So you're certainly seeing this, you know, I don't know that this is a new thing, but the impacts of this are certainly impacting some of the more vulnerable people in our community.
I might mention that the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, the CABA website, has a really good COVID-19 resource center for the Kenosha area. And I commend that to our listeners, by the way.
Yeah, Todd, I just would just, hey, Len, I just wanted to say, I just want to thank our team on that. Becky Noble, our director of marketing, and several other members of our team. I mean, they jumped on this pretty quickly. If just on our website, they created, you know, and many organizations have, but we, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we were trying to be a clearinghouse and kind of air traffic control for some of the various programs. So we've tried to be kind of a local clearinghouse for good resources and data about what's happening due to COVID-19 and some of the statistics and health impacts that we're getting from the health department, but then some of the responses in terms of virtual job fairs, and then also some of the programs that companies can leverage, you know, the federal stimulus and the federal supports that are being rolled out.
It's really great, and I commend you and your staff. It's a wonderful resource, and I encourage everyone listening to take a look at it, especially if you have anything to do with running a business. I thought we would be talking today, Todd, about the national guidelines for opening up America again that the president presented just a few days ago. But in the interim, we have emergency order number 12, which is extended in the state of Wisconsin, the safer at home order until May 26th. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about that and how you see, what do you think are the more important aspects of this continuing order? Are there any aspects of it that you think are going to be troublesome for businesses? I know that the governor, of course, is trying to make everybody safe, and there is no 100% way everyone can be safe all the time and still keep the economy open. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it appears to largely mirror the prior order. I mean, there are some variations. It extends it another 30 days. There are some where, you know, maybe some businesses are allowed to do a little bit more with curbside. It kind of reopens some things like parks and golf courses that maybe previously were closed, where you can adhere to social distancing requirements. I think the main kind of point about this is that it's kind of putting the brakes on restarting the economy another 30 days. I think the thing, you know, when you kind of read that last statement, this order is in place till May 26th or until superseded by another order. I think there's mounting pressure to talk about, are there ways to kind of try and hit the restart button a little bit sooner if we can do it safely? I've been following along pretty closely. I think the MMAC, which is the kind of the Milwaukee Chamber of Commerce, has been doing a really good job of working with the Medical College of Wisconsin and hosting kind of weekly and daily briefings on kind of what's going on throughout Southeast Wisconsin and throughout the state. And they've been doing a really good job of kind of monitoring the public health data in terms of, you know, the spread of the virus and the doubling rate and the, you know, how severe this is. And they're trying to really pay attention to the data to have a good indication of when we can safely restart some of these non-essential industries. And I think, you know, I think that's a good point to pay attention to. I think some people think that extending this another 30 days is way too long, and they want to, you know, ask the governor for flexibility. You know, I think the governor is trying to make sure that he keeps the state safe and our people safe. And I think he's also, you know, I think a lot of people are worried about if we restart too soon and this, you know, there's kind of a second wave, that could be even more devastating. So I think there's, you know, there's good debate going on about how do we do this? But again, there's no roadmap. So this is all people using kind of good judgment and trying to use their acumen to say when is the best time to do this and how do we do it. And I think there's a lot of good discussion going on about how do we do this safely. But I don't know that I have any specific or great insight into that. I want to see a lot of the folks that we've worked with to grow and build businesses and employ people in our community. I know a lot of them are hurting and want to see them have the ability to kind of get back to running their companies sooner versus later, but also concerned about the public health aspects as well.
Yeah, it's better to be alive than to be open for business. I agree.
Yeah.
And it takes the wisdom of Solomon to do this. It's really difficult. And we have an interesting situation in our state because there are some areas that are intensely rural and forests and some very, very, very dense urban areas in the state of Wisconsin. Todd, I wonder if you would chat just a little bit about what your organization, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, is prepared and is doing for local businesses. Anything in addition to the several things you've already mentioned that our listeners and businesses that are listening would want to know about, sir?
Sure, yeah. So we're, our entity has been in business for 40 years plus or minus. And over that time, we've been an economic development organization, but we've grown into a pretty decent size economic development lender. So, we've got a pretty sizable loan portfolio. We've probably got 35, 40 distinct businesses in the Kenosha County area that have loans with us that were part of an economic development project or a business expansion in somewhat recent history. So, we've implemented a loan deferment program where, for each of our borrowers, depending on their circumstances, between 90 and 180 days, between 3 and 6 months, we're deferring loan payments. There are kind of a few other things like that. As I mentioned earlier, we're certainly trying to become a clearinghouse of information and hosting a lot of webinars and briefings and things like that. I think the other thing we're trying to do is, our bread and butter in how we serve the community has always been around economic development, you know, kind of keeping projects and deals and economic development investments happening. And, it's kind of interesting to think about this, but, you know, while some parts of the economy are shut down, other parts of the economy are still kind of moving right along. And so I think we're also trying to kind of stick to our knitting, which is pursuing and promoting economic development. So we've got a business park out in the western part of Kenosha County where right before this hit, we announced that we were going to build two buildings this summer for a couple of manufacturing prospects. And so we're trying to kind of, as much as we can, business as usual, work on getting everything set so that when the time is right, we can break ground and continue building those buildings. And there are a number of other kind of economic development oriented projects that continue. You know, maybe there are parts of this safer at home order that, you know, limit some of the things that can be done there, but a lot of the aspects of, you know, getting these projects ready for construction or getting a development ready to kind of to break ground or things like that. A lot of this can be done such that when the order lifts, and frankly, in some of the construction and trades, there's a fair amount of liberty in the original safer at home for some of these industries to kind of continue to operate as essential industries. So we're just trying to, I guess, take advantage of opportunities to make sure that Kenosha County's economy, to the extent it's able to, is continuing to move and grow and develop.
At the time of our recording this, 24 hours ahead of broadcast, small business assistance funds on this national program are out of money. And there's talk about how to get the Congress to pass additional resources. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us about the small business assistance funds? Have you had any feedback from your colleagues, Todd Battle, as to how they're doing with respect to trying to apply for these funds? And hopefully the funding stream will be replenished, because as I understand it, there's lots of small businesses that haven't even gotten processed yet. And yeah, maybe not even had time to apply.
Yeah, so there are various programs out there. I think the main one that you're referring to in a lot of this attention is actually the Paycheck Protection Program. There was about $350 billion allocated to this program via the federal government. It was largely meant to be distributed to small and mid-sized businesses through banks. Essentially, they provide loans to companies to continue, and there are some restrictions on those loans. They require the money to be spent on payroll and a few other areas. And then there's a provision that if the companies comply with the requirements of the loan program, there's an opportunity for forgiveness, so the loans could be forgiven. That money, I mean, it was pretty miraculous how quickly this went from, you know, a bill to a law to a program, and the rules were, you know, kind of almost drafted overnight and then basically put into play where people could apply for it and disperse. And I mean, this all happened in a matter of a couple of weeks. And so I think there were some concerns early that there were a lot of applications being filed for this, and people were concerned about when would the money start flowing. But I think you're starting to see the money flow pretty quickly. And as you mentioned, the original $350 billion that was allocated here is essentially spoken for. So I think there's some pressure on the federal government to consider a round two. As you noted, not all of the companies that have applied have even had, you know, their applications considered, and the program's kind of tapped. So there probably will be a kind of a round two. It certainly seems to be helpful. I think the thing about, you know, some of these programs that are being put into play now, they're really not stimulus programs as much as, you know, you might call them kind of bridge or gap programs. They're essentially trying to help companies keep people employed and keep the lights on. But, you know, kind of, you know, once we get through the most significant part of this public health crisis, then there's going to need to be efforts around how do we get the economy restarted. This is simply to kind of keep it going and to maybe help manage to ensure that the dip isn't so severe that we can't come back from it.
Do you have any sense from your membership, Todd, of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, of how they're doing and how they're managing? I know communication is difficult and everyone's just trying to survive right now. What kind of feedback, if any, have you been getting?
Yeah, it's varied depending on the type of business and the industry you're in, whether you're essential or non-essential. But, you know, certainly companies are pretty resilient. I'm always impressed by kind of the ingenuity and the leadership skills that people that run these businesses have. So, you know, we're seeing things like, you know, if you're a company and you're kind of trying to do business as usual and you're deemed essential, your challenge is, okay, how do we get people to work remotely? How do we keep our people safe? How do we kind of staff a minimal operation? You're thinking about creative ways to manage your schedules. You're thinking about things of, you know, split schedules. You're thinking about hours of operation. And in some instances, you know, you might be a company that is an essential industry and you might actually be hiring. So you're staffing up because your volumes are up or your demand is up. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you know, we're certainly hearing from some companies that probably they're the thing that's keeping them up at night is how do they remain a going concern? How do they keep their business solvent? How do they keep their people paid? How do they keep kind of the rent paid and the lights on while revenues are severely down? So it's, again, it's a little bit of everything depending on where you sit.
What's your sense of the impact on the Kenosha, Racine, or Walworth economy at this time? Do you have any sense as to what the impact is at the present time?
Jeez, yeah, good question. I mean, so certainly, I don't know how to quantify that, but certainly, right, there are certain sectors of the economy in those non-essential areas that are dark. So you've got bars, restaurants, entertainment, deemed non-essential, and those businesses are essentially closed down. No revenue, no consumer spending. You know, they're doing anything and everything to kind of keep the business alive and keep it minimally staffed. And you know, you've even seen it like in the restaurant industry. A lot of these area companies tried to go to kind of a pure kind of takeout model, and for some that doesn't work. Doesn't, you know, the business model doesn't work, and so that's now even been changed. So those businesses are certainly struggling. You know, we're seeing, you know, a huge spike in unemployment claims. That's locally, that's statewide, that's nationally. So you got a lot of people hitting the unemployment line. We had an economy that was kind of running at full employment, and we were low single digits, 3.5% plus or minus unemployment. And you're hearing estimates that unemployment, you know, could approach 20% in the very near future here when these kind of initial unemployment claims are processed. And, you know, we're hopeful that that's short term, and those are maybe short term layoffs and furloughs, but you always get nervous that if we're, you know, if this pandemic lasts longer than possible, or the recovery is more of a U-shape than a V-shape, those unemployment, you know, those initial unemployment claims could last longer, and the unemployment situation could be more severe. You're hearing, you know, talks about how much GDP is dropping, you know, nationally and at the state and regional level, and those are some pretty significant drops that you're seeing. So yeah, I think all of that just has us concerned about, you know, how severe this crisis is. You're hearing things, you know, you're hearing the word recession, and then you're hearing the word depression, which you don't often hear. So, you know, essentially there are large sectors of the economy that just were shut off about 30 days ago, and it's got people concerned.
Have you had a chance to review the national guidelines that the president announced, and do you have any observations on how those are going to be implemented in our corner of the state? What's your best thinking about? There's nothing in the guidelines for opening up America again that specifies a date.
No.
Wisely leaves that up to the localities. What are your thoughts, Todd?
Yeah, I think that was published yesterday afternoon. I saw bits and pieces of it. I kind of understand the gating concept. Essentially, you know, I think it's a smart approach, right? They're trying to use the public health data to say when an area or a region or a state has looked like it's got a pretty good handle on the number of cases and the spread of the virus, and, you know, based on having good public health data to say, you know, you're doing well at kind of controlling and limiting the spread of this disease, we're going to let, you know, you're going to be in a position to do more with your economy and letting people go back to work and letting us kind of get back to business. So that kind of that gating process that they refer to, that makes sense. I think there, you know, it also seems to, you know, suggest that there's going to be a lot of interaction between the federal government and states, but really kind of allowing governors and states and areas of the country to kind of go at different speeds based on the public health data. I mean, I think the largest, you know, the larger concern that has been kind of apparent at the beginning of this pandemic was, you know, if this pandemic got out of control and we overwhelmed the health system and we've got, you know, kind of a pandemic that's out of control and we're needing more PPE and more ventilators and more beds at hospitals and we don't have them, that's the kind of the ultimate challenge here, and everyone's been trying to mitigate against that. So they're trying to use this public health data to say when is an area kind of got a relatively good handle on the spread of this virus, and then based on that, you know, giving that area encouragement or support to open more parts of their business community and their economy.
Todd, you're in touch, of course, with businesses all throughout our greater Kenosha area, and you interface with those beyond in our signal area of WGTD. So I'd ask you, Todd, as president of CABA, what other general observations would you make about the business health of our community right now?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I just think it's a period where people are trying to weather the storm. And I think initially the thought was this is, you know, there's a large segments of the economy and the community are shut down until towards the end of April. I think the news yesterday that now could be more like towards the end of May. I think that's probably created a greater sense of concern about, you know, can we weather a storm that lasts that long? And so, you know, I just think people are trying to do anything and everything they can to maintain their companies, to take care of their people, to keep their organizations going. But I think there's still a lot of concern out there. I mean, I think generally people are optimistic and they got a lot of ingenuity and they're creative and they're doing everything they can to manage through this. But I think there is some concern about the length of the shutdown and then really even kind of the shape of the recovery. Like, I don't think anybody expects that come the end of May, you know, that we're going to go back to business as usual. There are going to be a lot of changes to the way companies operate. There are going to be a lot of changes to the way people socialize. And, you know, that's going to have an impact on the economy that's going to be a little bit more long-lasting and far-reaching.
Yes, there's certainly there's no cure for this yet. The treatments are, in my view, rather primitive at this point. There's not a lot that you can do for people once they get really seriously ill. So this isn't over until we have a good medical procedure to cure this disease. And we're, who knows how far from that. Todd Battle, I'm grateful for your insights. I wonder if you could speculate with me as to what you think the next steps are in terms of business recovery in general, or perhaps in our area. What's it going to take before we start to approach normalcy again? I mean, obviously, when there's a cure for this disease, that will be a big step. But until then, which could be who knows how long, probably at least a year away. And then once something is developed, it has to be given to the essential personnel first and then to the rest of us. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you've heard a lot of different speculation about, like, you know, in terms of having a vaccine, you know, what's the schedule or the period of when that is, and that could be a year, that could be 18 months, that could be a couple years. So I think, you know, that until there's a vaccine, I think everybody's a little bit uneasy about this, because we've certainly seen that this virus impacts different people in different ways. You know, probably the thing you think about is you look at the president's order about you know, pushing out some guidelines for restarting the economy, and a lot of governors thinking about, you know, how do they do that as well. There's got to be some advances with respect to testing. People, you know, particularly in employment situations, particularly in offices and in factories and in distribution centers, you know, that people are going to be coming into contact with their coworkers. I think we've got to see a proliferation of testing. You know, there's going to have to be ways to get accurate tests, but with quick results, so that we know, you know, if somebody's been affected or impacted, there's ways to kind of isolate that person and not have this spread, you know, on a factory floor, in an office building, or in a, you know, in a facility. So, you know, I think until, you know, we've got a little bit better handle on the public health data that says we've got the social distancing has been effective and we've got a good handle on the spread of the virus, we've got some better methods for testing. Now let's start also thinking about how do we implement some practices and standards so that people can get back to work, maybe in a little bit of a different way, maybe a little bit more spread out, maybe a little bit new safety regimens in place. But I think we have to start thinking that way.
Todd, how can listeners learn more about the Kenosha Area Business Alliance and what Todd Battle and your staff are doing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we're all over, you know, kind of the various social media platforms. Our website's a great resource at kaba.org, kaba.org. You know, on the homepage of that site, there's a readily available link to our COVID-19 Resource Center, which references a lot of these things we've talked about today. Our marketing and media person does a fantastic job, you know, using all the various platforms to push information out and to engage with the community and our members. So you can find us at, you know, Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and all those various platforms as well.
And how are you maintaining your operations? You're continuing to press 100% ahead, just working from home, I gather.
Yeah, we went virtual or remote in mid-March and have kind of operated that way since. It's certainly a different way to go. You know, given the type of work that we do, our team has done a really good job and was frankly pretty well prepared in terms of, you know, just being able to kind of work remotely in terms of IT and communications infrastructure. We were in a pretty good position. And I said, we're a relatively small group, so probably a little bit
That's
easier
great.
For us to do.
That's great. I want to thank you, Todd Battle, President of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, for exploring with us the ramifications. Thank you for joining us 24 hours in advance of our program airing. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters saying good day.